do you have a special this morning?
Ain't that special?
Yeah, ain't that special?
I'm a special player. Yeah.
Awesome possum tastes so good. Leroy's special. All right, if I can get everything organized here. Okay. Well, I tried to pick something that I thought at least partially went with our text today. And I've done this song before. And even though he may not remember it, Evan used to sing this with me, and so did his brothers, and so did his mom. Do you know my Jesus? Have you a heart that's weary, tending a load of care? Are you a soul that's seeking rest from the burden you bear? Do you know my Jesus? Do you know my friend? Have you heard he loves you and that he will abide till the end? Where is your heart, O pilgrim? What does your light reveal? Who hears your call for comfort when naught but sorrow you feel? Do you know my Jesus? Do you know my friend? Have you heard he loves you and that he will abide till the end? Who knows your disappointments? Who knows each time you cry? Who understands your heartaches? Who wipes the tears from your eyes? Do you know my Jesus? Do you know my friend? Have you heard he loves you and that he will abide till the end? All right. Say, Phil, you got the scripture reading? It's contagious, Polly. I'm coughing now, too.
Sorry. No, she's not. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is coming, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are risen, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those were fine clothes or in the king's palace. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is one about whom is written. I will send in my messenger ahead of you, who will be prepared your way before you. Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. For the day of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subject to violence, and violent people have been raiding it. For all the prophets and the law prophets until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. Whoever has ears, let them hear. To what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling out to others. We play the pipes for you, and you did not dance. We sang for you, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and said, and they said, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, he is a glutton and a drunken, a friend, a tax collector, a sinner. But wisdom is provided right by her deeds.
Amen. Thank you, Phil. Good morning. Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord? Wow. Have you had an exciting week? Been a lot going on. There's a lot going on in the world. You know, in this text, as we continue on through the book of Matthew, here we find that John the Baptist has been put in prison because of his bold preaching. Preaching that the king could not have his brother's wife. And apparently that kind of made him angry, and especially the wife became angry. As we learn more about that as we go on. But that caused his ministry to come to an end. He's put in prison and kept there. And while he's there, he begins to wonder, is Jesus really the Messiah? Remember, he's the one, the very one, whom God said that he will see a sign, the Holy Spirit will come down upon the one you baptize and stay on him, and he's the one. So the very witness that was sent to prepare the way beforehand and to point out who the Messiah was is now in a situation he finds himself troubled. And during that time of trouble, he begins to doubt. And so he sends some of his followers, some of his disciples, to go ask Jesus, are you really the one to come? Now, folks, doesn't that sound a little bit like what was said in the Garden of Eden? Is that what God really said? You see, we've all found ourselves in positions where we had some kind of challenge, some kind of difficulty, some kind of problem in life where we said, where are you, God? Right? Haven't we all been there at some point in time? Where are you, God? And that's really what's going on with John. So we see that even someone like John the Baptist had that very same thought, had that very same feeling of doubt and wonder. Where are you? Why am I here stuck in prison? And so he sends his disciples to ask Jesus if he's really the one. Now, Jesus tells them, go back and report to John what you hear and see. Folks, testimony is important. Amen? That's what he's talking about. Go back and testify to John what you see and hear. That's what we testify about, folks, is what we see and hear, what we learn, what we know, what we have experienced. We can't effectively testify to what someone else has experienced. But what we experienced, we can tell from our own perspective and be convincing because we know, we saw it. Now, how many of you had a little different testimony to tell after 2 weeks ago when our friend Dominguez came and spoke? Huh? Didn't that give you something else to think about and to talk about and to share? I personally met a man who died twice and came back, and there was no way to deny it. I saw the scars. I saw the news reports. I heard from his own lips. Many of us don't have that kind of story to share about ourselves. Some of us do have some kind of story to share. I've shared with you about how God cured me from being from having the internal chicken pox, you know, and the doctor telling me to say goodbye. I'm not going to make it through the night. I prayed, felt good about it, woke up the next morning, it's all gone, everything fine. And the doctor himself said, that's a miracle. The movie we watched last night, and based on a true story. Little boy died, fell in the ice. Little boy died, was dead for 20 minutes. The doctors, medical workers had given up. The mother was invited to come in and spend time alone with her deceased child. And she began to call on God very loudly. Everyone in the place heard her. Holy Spirit, Jesus, I need you now. Holy Spirit, I need you now. Come, bring life back into my son. Boop, boop, boop. Heartbeat on the monitor. And the doctors and nurses just freaked out. They were happy, but they couldn't believe it. Here, John needed something to bolster his faith. He needed to hear something that would help him to continue to believe. Folks, that's why it's so important for us to go to church every week. Because it's a time when our faith is bolstered. It helps to reinforce what we believe. It helps hold us up because all week long, the devil beats on us and beats on us and beats on us and says, you don't have any reason to really believe that garbage. Look at this. Look at that. Look at the mess around you. Look at what's going on in your own life or in your own families. And then you come here and you hear the things that people share that God has done for them. And you hear the word of God and it helps us to hold on. It helps us to be reconnected and to be recommitted to Christ, to continue on, to keep on keeping on. John needed that affirmation for his faith. So he said, go back and tell them what you see and hear. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. Now, The opposite of that is true. Also, cursed is anyone who does stumble on account of him. You know, here's what's going on in the background, folks. They expected the Messiah to come and to be not just a religious leader, but also a political leader and a military leader. And that he would come and immediately, when he appeared, that he would begin to reclaim the kingdom of David, that he would run off all of the Romans and take back their land and give the people freedom from the Romans who were oppressing them. They didn't understand that he came not for those reasons, not to deliver us physically per se, but to deliver us spiritually. Now we know that he did also deliver physically, because the blind received their sight, the lame walked. But it still was not on a national level. This was on a personal level. Why? Because our relationship with Jesus is personal. And so with that thought in the background of John's mind, he's thinking, well, why am I in prison? Why is anybody still being oppressed by the Romans? Why are we having all these problems in our nation still? Why? If you're the Messiah, why aren't you doing something? Now, isn't that the way the devil gets people to focus today? How many of you have ever had an atheist or someone ask you when you talk to them about the Lord, well, if God is so good, why do little babies die of diseases? Yeah. Why wouldn't they? Adults do too, right? So why wouldn't babies? Our bodies, living in a sinful, fallen world, our bodies have been made susceptible to disease. If we still lived in a perfect environment where there was no sin, there would be no death. That means there would be no disease. The fact that Adam and Eve sinned allowed for disease and death to come to mankind. All mankind. The fact that people get hung up on those kind of things means they are selfish. I don't want to let go of my loved ones. We don't get to choose who lives and who dies. Do we think we're God? Often I think we think we are, without wanting to say that out loud, because our actions show that we think we have the right to determine, well, my loved one should live. Whether yours dies or not, it's not my problem. We don't think about it that way, folks, but in essence, that's what we're saying. And that is selfishness. We don't want to give up the person we love. It is also a lack of faith. Because if you truly believe what you say you believe, you may miss them now, but you know you'll see them again. Amen. And in the meantime, we're to hold on to the Lord. It should not have been that loved one that kept our life alive and going. It should have always been Jesus, and it should always be Jesus. Amen. Then, as John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to preach to the people about who John was. Now, the reason why he's doing that is because many of these people that are there listening to Jesus now were baptized by John. And they're thinking, wait a minute now, he preached to me. Now he's saying you're not who he thought you were. So where do I stand in this thing? So Jesus has to remind them of who John really is in order for them to believe he is who he really says he is. And he says, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? Someone who just changes their opinion willy-nilly. Goes back wherever, whichever way the wind blows. That's who I'm in favor with. If I'm with a group of atheists, I'm an atheist. If I'm with a group of Christians, I'm a Christian. If I'm with a group of agnostics, I'm an agnostic. A reed swayed by the wind. Wherever he goes, wherever the wind blows, that's where I'm at. If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? Well, now, a man dressed in fine clothes would either be royalty or someone wealthy or possibly even a man who is an effeminate. So he's saying, is that what you went out to see and to hear and to learn from? No. Those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes. I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. So Jesus is reminding them, you didn't go out and listen to somebody that didn't know what they were talking about. You didn't go out and listen to somebody who was hired and paid and pampered to go out and give you a message. You did go out to listen to a prophet of God, a man who was sent by God. And even it had been prophesied about his coming and what he would do and what he would say. That's who you listen to. That's who John is. Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, there was not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Wow. As we move to heaven, we advance. Because even the least of us is greater than anybody alive. And if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. Whoever has ears, let them hear. You know, the Jewish people are still waiting for Elijah to return. And that may happen. The actual Elijah did not return. And John himself made that very clear. They asked him, are you Elijah? He said, no. However, the original prophecy said that one will come like Elijah in the spirit of Elijah. And in that, John fulfilled it. That's what Jesus is talking about. He came in the spirit of Elijah with that same boldness. Elijah was one of the boldest prophets in the Bible. And so John had that same kind of spirit. To what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to others. We played the pipe for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her deeds. So now then he's shifting and he's saying, okay, now I've told you who John is, reminded you who John is, and you know who I am because of that. And so now what about you? What's your part in all of this? What's your response to this? When John came, you said that he had a demon. You just couldn't understand the message, this new message he was delivering. You just couldn't grasp it, so you blamed the devil. Which, by the way, is blasphemous, because what John was bringing was by the Holy Spirit, not by the devil, not by a demon. He says, then the Son of Man came. And even though John was neither eating nor drinking, because he was out in the wilderness, remember? And he was surviving on locust and wild honey. So he didn't come eating and drinking. But we know Jesus, when he came, he went to the wedding of Cana. And he even made 120 gallons of wine. He provided. He was taking part. He sat down at several different banquets with sinners and ate at their table. And so they say, oh, well, he's a glutton and a drunkard. Now, it's not really recorded anywhere that anyone actually said that, to my knowledge, at least not in the scriptures. There may be some kind of traditional writing from the Jews, that has that. But that's what they were thinking. Whether they said it or not, Christ knew what they were thinking. And they were thinking, oh, he's just a glutton and a drunkard. And now this part is true, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Aren't you glad he's a friend of sinners? I don't know about you, but I fit in that category. I mean, we can identify with that, right? And I'm so grateful he's friends with sinners. He came to save, well, seek what was lost, and to save those who had an illness, not those that were well. And that illness is sin. And then this last sentence, he says, but wisdom is proved right by her deeds. And what it's a chastisement to the people because they're not using good judgment. They're not being wise. They're just looking at the physical and missing the spiritual picture altogether. If we just look at the physical, folks, it looks like we're on a train that is destined to wreck. In fact, it looks like it's already off the tracks. And we're all holding on to the handrails. Help! And Jesus says, don't worry, I got you. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Jesus is there to help us. No matter what's going on in the world around us, no matter where the train's headed off the track, we have a Savior that's got a handle on everything. Amen. He can reach down and scoop you up out of that train and let everybody else that's not his fall right into the ditch. He wants to be there for us, folks. Often much more, he wants to be there for us much more than we want him there. In other words, there's a lot more offered to us than we're receiving. You know how to change that? Get into the Word. Get into prayer time. Spend time alone with Jesus. Ask him, what more? What more do you want me to have to use for your glory? Give it to me and show me what to do with it, Lord. And I will go and do whatever you want. How you doing with that, folks? How you doing with that? Have you sought out what the Lord actually wants you to do? Or are you just doing something and hoping the Lord's okay with it? You have a need this morning. Just mind the Lord and come as we sing. Brother Bob.